But everyone did not think like Laplace. Ceremonies in the open air, especially when they involved question maneuvers, were not much to the taste of the civil element. However suitable they might be to that of the military, it was thought necessary to divide the ceremony, even at the sacrifice of some of the Charlemagne effect. One part was to take place under the roof of some entirely secular edifice, the other in the open air in the Champ de Mars. The most suitable building seemed to be the Church of the Invalides, known as the Temple of Mars, and generally made use of, especially since the establishment of the consulate, as the theater of patriotic solemnities there on the theater of the Pilibios of year 8, February 9th, 1800. General Lannes had presented to Carnot as minister the 96 flags which had been taken by the Army of the East, and Fontaines had delivered a eulogy on Washington. There on the 25th of Messidor, July 14th, 1800, had been celebrated the festival in honor of the capture of the Bastille, when Lucien, the Minister of the Interior, had pronounced a discourse, and the triumphal ode on the deliverance of Italy, written by Citizen Fontaine, had been recited thither on the 5th complementaire of the year 8, September 22nd. The ashes of Turenne had been solemnly transferred, and the festival of the anniversary of the Republic was held there on the following day, so that the place had become, as it were, consecrated to such ceremonies. Although it was called the Temple of Mars, it was re-Christianized. The Republican inscriptions erased, and the Catholic insignia restored, in order that the clergy might officiate at the coronation of the framer of the Concordat on the 21st of Messidor of the year 7, July 10th, 1809. The emperor decreed that the taking of the oath and the coronation fixed for the 18th of Brumaire of the year 8, November 9th, should be performed in the Church of the Invalide in the presence of the empress, the princes, princesses, grand dignitaries, and all the public officers mentioned in the Organic Senatus Consultum of the 28th of Floreal. After the ceremony of the oath taking and coronation, His Majesty was to proceed to the Champ de Mars. The anniversary festival of the 14th of July, put off from Saturday the 25th to Sunday the 26th of Messidor, was celebrated by the distribution of stars of the Legion of Honor in the Church of the Invalide. This served as a rehearsal for the ceremony, the coronation. The empress with the princesses and her ladies and officers, a small train of four carriages, drove thither between two lines of troops who bordered the road from the Tuileries. The empress started at midday from the carousel, whence he had caused the procession to start. At its head marched the chasseurs of the guard. Next came the colonel generals of the marshals and the prince constable, then Napoleon himself, clad in the handsome new uniform of colonel of the guards, with epaulettes and a black hat, and mounted on a noble white horse. After him came the colonels general of the guard, the great civil officers of the crown, the aides-de-camp, and last of all the horse grenadiers. He often saluted, says Stendhal, and smiled theatrically with his lips, but not with his eyes. At the railings of the Invalides Palace, the Marshal Governor stepped forward and offered the keys. Then the civil officials who had driven thither joined the procession, which was now formed up on foot. At the door of the church, holy water was sprinkled by the Cardinal Archbishop of Paris, and an address given. The emperor was then led by the clergy to his throne, which was set under a canopy to the left of the altar. The grand officers, civil and military, sat behind him on benches. The grand dignitaries, the ministers, the marshals were ranged along the altar steps. Behind the altar sat 700 military pensioners and 200 pupils from the Polytechnic School in a vast amphitheater occupying the whole extent of the dome. In the nave were the members of the Order of the Legion. In the gallery were the empress and her ladies with the ambassadors. The cardinal legate began mass. After the gospel, Lacépède, grand chancellor of the legion, read an address. The grand officers were then called forth individually and took the oath. Then the emperor rose and, covering himself, spoke, "Commanders, officers, members of the legion, citizens and soldiers, you, sir, upon your honor, to devote yourselves to the service of the empire, to preserve its territory intact, unassailed, to defend the person of the emperor, the laws of the republic, and the liberties which it has recognized to oppose in every way sanctioned by laws, justice, and reason all attempts to reestablish the feudal system. And finally, you swear to maintain with all your power that liberty and equality, which is the basis of all our institutions. You swear it, An immense shout answered his deep voice, which sounded throughout every part of the immense building and raised an echo in the hearts of all. It sounded like the triumphant cry of the established and victorious revolution. Every hand was stretched forth at a solemn oath to the death taken. The legate then resumed. I finished mass. After this, Prince Louis, in his office as constable, pinned the insignia of the order upon the tunic of the emperor, and each of the grand officers, commanders, officers, and members of the legion came up at the summons of the Grand Chancellor of Napoleon. This ceremony was his own idea. In the meetings held on the 23rd and following days at the house of the High Chancellor to arrange the ceremonial, it had been arranged that the insignia should be handed by 20 of the members of the Legion to the Grand Dignitaries and then distributed by them. Napoleon was resolved to enhance the glory of the Star of Honor by giving it to each one himself. On every man who received it was shed, as it were, a portion of his renown.